Adventures in Research. This is Paul Shannon transcribing another Adventure in Research from the files of Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today, telling you the story of the pump that didn't pump. In the year 1700, in the country which is now Italy, one man held much of the wealth and power. Thus, he was able to have at his call the greatest and most capable minds of the time to solve whatever problems arose. And on this auspicious day, the Duke of Tuscany had a problem indeed.
Wait! He has the audacity to ask the Duke of Tuscany to wait?
Signor Galileo said to inform the Duke that he would be here in all possible haste as soon as he completes an experiment.
Since when does Galileo give orders? Am I the Duke of Tuscany or is Galileo?
You are kind, sir, you are, but...
Return and advise him it would be wise for him to make his presence here immediately, or it will go harsh with him and you.
Yes, most certainly, Your Highness, but...
Hail, Your Excellency.
Oh, Galileo, 'tis well time for your presence. Did I not summon you long ago?
I came with all dispatch, Your Highness. An experiment has detained me, but I...
Am I not your patron? Have I not a call on your services? Am I the Duke of Tuscany, or am I not?
You are indeed the Duke of Tuscany. And in a most cantankerous state this morning, might I add, Your Highness. What can this poor craftsman do to ease your burden?
Oh, that is better. I wish a new well dug in the court.
Is that all, Your Highness? A new well? For this I leave my word to...
You say it thus? That is all? As though it were not but a trifle. When the Duke of Tuscany wants a well, he does not merely want an ordinary well.
But the greatest, largest, deepest, and finest well in the empire.
Certainly. How well you understand, my dear Galileo.
Thank you.
Now forget all else and take this matter to hand.
Forget all else? Oh, but, Your Highness, it is only a well.
Galileo, when it is the well for the Duke of Tuscany, it is never only a well.
Accordingly, Galileo forgot all else and concentrated on the new well. It was to be a deep one, all right. 41 feet, an amazing depth for a well in 17th century Italy. When the well was dug, the next thing was to fit a pump to bring the water to the surface of the earth. Pumps were known and used since the time of Aristotle, and the pump currently in vogue was a simple device. It consisted of a long tube dipping into the water at the bottom of the well. At the top, the tube opened into a wider cylinder by means of a valve which could only open upwards. Fitting into the cylinder was a piston which could move up and down when worked by a rod. In this piston was another valve which opened only upwards. This was the pump that was to open new fields for science. A fact that Galileo didn't know as he wearily explained the operation to the Duke of Tuscany.
And to work this pump, Your Highness, we push on the handle which moves the piston first down and then up, and continue to do so until an upward movement brings water to the top of the piston.
How clever, Signor Galileo.
Yes, Your Highness, very. And now, if you will let me...
How does this happen? What brings the water to the top of the pump? I'm curious.
Oh, dear. The downward stroke of the piston squeezes out the air beneath it in the cylinder. On pulling up the piston, therefore, we form an empty space or vacuum. But nature abhorring a vacuum. Air from the pipe is sucked up into the cylinder, while water is sucked into the pipe. Next downward stroke squeezes out this new lot of air, and on the upward stroke, still more water is sucked up.
Such a long and tedious work. How did it ever come to be created?
To provide water from wells, one presumes.
Oh?
Yes. Finally, Your Excellency, do you pray to continue?
Oh, yes. This interests me.
Well, finally, water is sucked into the cylinder and squeezed through the valve, which then closes under the weight of water so that on the upward stroke, The water is carried up and out the mouth of the pump.
Interesting.
Do I make it clear, Your Excellency? You understand?
No, not a word of it, no. But you tell it well, Galileo. And all this because nature abhors a vacuum.
Correct, Your Excellency. And now that the well is raised, order the slaves to begin pumping. And
pump away, men, for this, the greatest well in the empire.
The slaves began to pump. And pump. With might and main they pumped, but no water ever sprang from the mouth of the pump. The Duke was outraged.
They have the effrontery to do this to the Duke of Tuscany.
But try as they might and whipped as they were, no man could raise water to the surface. The water refused to rise higher than 34 feet. The well was 41. And Galileo, amazed and dumbfounded, could only explain.
Perhaps nature abhors a vacuum only to 34 feet.
I do not care about nature. I am concerned only for myself, Signor Galileo. Am I the Duke of Tuscany or am I not?
Galileo never did solve the problem of the pump that didn't pump. But a student of his, one Torricelli, was curious concerning the pump that raised water but 34 feet. After several secret experiments, he confided to a fellow scholar.
At last, Franchetti, I have the answer. What the great Galileo did not comprehend, I have solved.
You speak in riddles, Torricelli. What is it? The pump?
The pump, indeed. I went to the laboratory and made an experiment. Only I did not use water, but mercury.
But mercury is heavier even than water.
And occupies less space, yes. And then I made some very thick glass tubes. These tubes were about a yard long and closed at one end. So I filled them with mercury. And then quickly putting my thumb over the open end, I turned them upside down into a basin of mercury.
The mercury that was in the tube quickly ran out.
Yes, but when the column of mercury in the tube was, let us say, 30 inches high, no more ran out.
You still speak in riddles.
Do you not see, Franchetti? The space above the top of the mercury in the tube was a vacuum. The mercury was held up in the tube by the pressure of the outside air on the surface of the mercury in the basin.
And what has all this to do with the pump?
Why, the same applies, Franchetti. That pump failed to work because the pressure of the atmosphere could not support the column of water higher than 34 feet. What are you laughing, Franchetti?
Why, if the pressure of the atmosphere can hold a column of mercury that high, as you said...
Yes?
Well, then the air would be pressing against us all the time. We would be squashed flatter than a mortarboard, air having pressure.
But Torricelli still thought his idea had some merit, and said so in a letter to some friends of his in Paris. And friends talked to other friends. And finally, the singular experiment reached the ears of a very clever Frenchman named Blaise Pascal.
And he's probably right, probably right. What a mind the young man must have had.
You speak strongly, Monsieur Pascal. You put your seal of approval on this man's talk and suggest that because Monsieur Pascal agrees, it is so.
Ah, Gabriel, it is not but jealousy you speak.
Jealousy? If the air has pressure enough to hold up the column of mercury 30-some inches high, then it is pressing down on us with a weight of nearly 15 pounds to each square inch.
A mathematician you are, Gabriel. So now the air is pressing us, is it? I thought it was only your creditors who
pressed... But if this Italian lad speaks the truth, as you say... but you talk only to hear yourself. If it came to proving, it would be another thing.
Proof? Indeed, let us have proof and strong light on the matter. If the column of mercury is indeed held up by the atmosphere, then you must admit that if the atmosphere changed any, the height of the mercury column would change also. Am I correct?
Yes, but how can one change the atmosphere?
The atmosphere changes itself. At the top of the cathedral tower, in the mountains, there is less air to press down on the mercury. So, we shall make the experiment, and Blaise Pascal will show you. When he says a thing is so, it is so.
There were no mountains near Pascal's city of Rouen, so he went to the top of the cathedral tower and repeated Torricelli's experiment. First at the top, and then on the ground.
There is a difference, Gabriel, but not sufficient. Not enough for proof.
Why do you not make a journey to the mountains and see how the mercury would act then?
The mind is sound, but this poor old body would never stand such a trip. Never in 1,000 years. Ah, but wait. My brother-in-law, Perrier, he lives near Auvergne.
Ah, there the mountains are high.
I shall address him this very evening, explaining it all to him.
So once again, the experiment was written down, and the 17th century postal system again scored a scientific assist. At long last, aging Blaise Pascal received an answer.
Yes, yes, it is from my brother-in-law. I recognize the handwriting.
I do not care about the handwriting, Blaise. Read it, read it.
Mm-hmm. Huh? He did as I suggested. Two balls of mercury.
Mm-hmm. Stop snorting and tell me, what does he say?
How can I read it with your interruptions? If he left one ball of mercury at the foot of the mountains and carried the other, treacherous ascent.
Who cares about the ascent? Read, read.
Yes, when they reached the top of the mountain, the mercury column was 3 inches shorter. You hear, Gabriel? And when they came down again, the mercury gradually rose in the tube until at the foot of the mountain, it was the same height as the tube they had left there.
Voila! Voila! Success! What wonderful news!
So you see, Gabriel, I was correct and you were wrong, as always.
I was wrong! I said that the atmosphere did have...
You said... I said that
you... What do you mean?
No, with Torricelli.
Who knows? All right. I've forgotten which of us said what. The important thing is, science always wins the argument.
Yes. Science won again, for with Torricelli's experiment at long last proven correct, there developed a convenient way of measuring the pressure of the atmosphere from day to day. We know it today as the barometer, of course perfected since those 17th century days of argument and experiment. In man's modern planes, the aneroid barometer, which does not contain mercury, measures the plane's height above the surface of the Earth. For it is known that the pressure of the atmosphere decreases regularly with the height above sea level. The barometer is used, too, in weather forecasting, and it is the basis for all sorts of pressure gauges. Yes, the proud and arrogant Duke of Tuscany never did get water from the best well in the empire. Galileo never did solve the mystery of the peculiar pump. But enthusiastic correspondence gave the world something far more: the theory of atmospheric pressure and the barometer. And all because a pump didn't pump. And that's today's story by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. Join us again next week for another transcribed story by Dr. Thomas on Adventures in Research.